Well, it's a great joy to be at Amiens Park Chapel today to see my friends Gerard and Mandy and all of you. It's a big thrill. I'm going to take a sort of a verbal picture back to the flock in Bradford of what I found here in London. Now, this morning, a famous sentence from the Bible. Tonight, another famous one, Hebrews 10, right towards the end of the chapter. Hebrews 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, many of you are Christians, as the Bible uses that word, and I take it that some of you are not yet Christians. You're not saved. Our sentence tonight is talking about Christians, about men and women and young people who are saved. But there is something crucial for you here who are not saved yet. Our sentence is, the just shall live by faith. Now, that word just, the justified, is the Bible's way in this chapter of describing you who are saved already. You're just, you're justified, you're a sinner, you've disobeyed God, you've gone your own way, but God has put you, a sinner, in a good and right and righteous relationship with himself. You are the just, the justified. And describing you, the Bible says tonight, the just shall live by faith. It's a great sentence from the Bible. It appears four times over in the scriptures. It comes, first of all, in from the Old Testament. It comes from the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 2 and verse 4, the just shall live by faith. And there in Habakkuk, it is tremendously important. The prophet Habakkuk is told to etch it out on tablets of stone. When I was a boy, I thought it meant that the whole of the prophecy, the three chapters of Habakkuk, were to be etched, chiseled out of stone. But I'm sure it's not. It's just, the just shall live by faith. Possibly the whole of verse 4, possibly verse 5 and verse 6. But that's the maximum. Just a little tablet. And he says, write it out on tablets of stone, that he who proclaims it, any preaching prophets you find, that he who preaches it may run. I want him to tuck this tablet in his cloak, and I want him to check every now and again, I've got it right, I'm just preaching this, I've got it, the just shall live by faith. It's on his tablet of stone. It was tremendously important. In fact, there was a Jewish rabbi, not a friend of the Bible, really, not a friend of the gospel, didn't like the truth that Jesus Christ is God, but he looked on Habakkuk's little sentence, chiseled out in stone for every preacher. He looked on that as a great summary, not just of Habakkuk's prophecy, but of the whole of the Old Testament. And I thought that was a great insight from an unbelieving Jewish rabbi. A summary of all the Old Testament scriptures. The just shall live by faith. And then the New Testament writers, the apostles, they quote Habakkuk's great sentence three times over. And they quote it in most striking places as they write the New Testament. It is in those critical, gospel-defining moments. They call up Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith, and they quote it and they rest upon it, and they proclaim it and they explain it and they apply it, the just shall live by faith. You'll see it in Romans 1, in Galatians 3. Those are the great gospel-defining books of the Bible. And they're using Habakkuk to explain, define the urgent thing God has to say. And then it's here in Hebrews 10, 38, the just shall live by faith. Now this morning, we concentrated on faith. Do you mind if I just remind you and say for you who weren't here this morning, we said three things about real saving faith. First of all, that it is intelligent faith. That there are some big things about the Bible and God. God and the Bible, you need to know, you need to understand, you need to believe if you are going to be saved. It is intelligent faith. Christ died for our sins just as described beforehand in the scriptures. Christ died for our sins. That great fact and truth, you need to get it. It is intelligent faith. And then, secondly, we said this morning, it is depending faith. Lord Jesus Christ, I put myself in your hands. Save me, or I am lost and damned forever. And then we said, it is urgent faith, urgent faith. Look and live, look and live. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. That is Jesus Christ describing your faith. You're taking the kingdom of heaven by force as you believe urgently in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we're going to come back to that. But I want us to ask tonight about this word live. Live. What does live mean in Habakkuk? In Romans, Galatians and Hebrews, it means the same thing. And we will stick with Hebrews. There's, of course, no time to think about the Romans and Galatians uses tonight. Now, in Habakkuk, please leave your Bible open at Hebrews 10 and trust for the moment that I'm giving you Habakkuk right, but do read Habakkuk on your own. Check it up tonight, tomorrow. But in Habakkuk, live. The just shall live by faith. It means this, that those who are already in a right, righteous relationship with God shall live and survive through the dangers with their relationship with God intact and good. They shall survive through the dangers of this world as they continue to believe, as they continue to trust urgently in the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live, shall survive through the dangers as they continue to trust in Jesus Christ. Now, in Habakkuk, there are three dangers, and the first you find in chapter 1, the opening four verses, really. Habakkuk 1, verses 1 to 4. And the danger there is the Lord's people themselves. They are their own danger. Now, it's very hard to tell as you read Habakkuk. Where is he? Is he in the northern kingdom, Israel? Is he in the southern kingdom of Judah? Is he in Jerusalem itself? Very difficult to locate him, but he is certainly among God's ancient people. And he looks out, and it is such a terrible scene that God's law is not controlling God's people. But God's law seems to be paralyzed and powerless, and they are living lives of hatred and violence. And that is their danger. They are the danger to themselves. Their sin is their danger. And then the second danger, from, say, chapter 1, verse 5, through to the end of chapter 2, the second danger is the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, depending on which version you're reading, the same people. This is the nation which God will call and summon to come and judge and destroy his own people. It's going to be such a judgment, such a destruction. Babylon, the Chaldeans are going to come at God's word, at God's command, to judge God's people with such destruction. And that is the second danger. The third danger in Habakkuk, and this is really the whole of chapter 3, the third danger is God himself. God is their danger. Now, in the middle of that great word burden prophecy from Habakkuk, we have, the just shall live. My righteous ones shall survive through the danger with their relationship with me intact and good as they continue to believe. By faith they will live. The just shall live by faith. Now, with that in your minds, will you come back to Hebrews chapter 10? And I want to say three things about Habakkuk's great sentence, the just shall live by faith, as it appears and is used in the letter to the Hebrews. So, the first thing is this, that the writer, the preacher, Hebrews is rather more like a sermon than a letter. The writer, the preacher, is writing to men and women and young people who are already saved. I think that is so important for understanding Hebrews. He's writing to men, women, young people, and they are already in a righteous relationship with God. God has set them free from sin. God has set them on the road to heaven. In the language of Hebrews, they have left Egypt. They are in the wilderness, but they are not yet in the promised land. They are the Lord's people. I'd like you to see that in chapter 3. You notice how chapter 3 begins. There's no greeting at the beginning of Hebrews. I can't turn you there. But quite early on, chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, my family in Jesus. That's what he means. Holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling. God has called you out from sin to himself and holiness. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And then at the end of the letter, the sermon in chapter 13, he tells them, now remember your leaders who first spoke the word of God to you. Chapter 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. In other words, I'm writing to you whom God has saved and has gathered together as a church under pastors and elders who have spoken the word of God to you. This is not an evangelistic sermon. That's what I'm saying. Hebrews is a letter to men and women and young people already saved. He underlines that in chapter 10. Chapter 10, where we are tonight, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, my family in Jesus, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, the curtain, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. It's writing to believers. Now, the second thing I want to say from Hebrews 10, and I hardly know how to put it, but he is writing to believers who are in danger. He's writing to believers in danger. And so he says in chapter 10, for, this is verse 26, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire which will devour the enemies. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Now, one of you asked me this morning, I wish you'd said some more about God being our danger. God is our great danger. Well, this isn't John's Gospel chapter 3, but in Hebrews 10, I want to put some clothes on that. What is the danger? Well, first of all, the danger is sin. It is you and me disobeying God. And so verse 26, for if we sin willfully, picking up that Old Testament thing of sinning against God with a high hand, defying God, you know what God is saying, and you say, no, I will not receive it, I will not believe it, I will not do it. If we sin willfully after we have received knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Now, I don't know about you, But I read that and I have to say that I am in the danger zone. I wonder, will you just think about a danger zone tonight? I'm very struck how even when the Lord Jesus warns the Pharisees about a sin that can never be forgiven, all sins, blasphemies will be forgiven, except for the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Even then, Jesus Christ does not say, and you have committed it. He never says that. But there is this zone. There is this zone, and I feel the danger of Hebrews 10. And that's the first danger. It is your sin, me disobeying God in a knowing, defiant, I will not kind of way. I cannot accept that part of your word, your truth. I will not do it. And then there's another layer to the danger, and this is hell. Hell, did you see hell in our verses? So there remains, verse 26, no longer sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire which will consume the enemies. Are you struck by this? That he writes to believers in Jesus about the dangers of hell. Sin, hell, and then the third layer of danger in Hebrews 10, God himself. And so he says, anyone who has rejected Moses' law, verse 28, died without mercy. Things were pretty strict in Old Testament times, but oh, how much more so in our New Testament times? How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy those who have trampled the Son of God underfoot? That is what you and my deliberate sins are doing. We are trampling underfoot the Son of God. And then he goes on, verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There's your greatest danger. We must tie them all together. My disobedience, willfully, hell, God is our danger. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Give me the IS, give me Satan, but don't let me fall into God's hands. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's writing to believers in Jesus, and he says there is this danger. And so the last thing I want to ask and say tonight is, what do you and I do when we sense I'm in the danger zone? His answer is, you believe urgently in the Lord Jesus Christ, the just, those who are already in a justified relationship with God shall live through the danger of your sin, the danger of hell, the danger of God. You shall live by faith as you trust urgently in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but that is tremendous news. You sense tonight you're in the danger zone. You're aware of some of your sins. What are you going to do to get safe? What measures are you going to take this week to get away from the danger zone? Well, forget this week. Sitting right where you are, you put your faith urgently in Jesus Christ. And that's how you live. That's how you survive through the danger. Now, can I say to you who are not Christians yet, I cannot call you the justified tonight. I can't say you are in a righteous relationship with God. But the word is surprisingly similar to you. The word is surprisingly similar. And this is what I can't quite get over in the New Testament. How sometimes the Bible will speak to you who are in Christ and justified and adopted and sealed, so like it speaks to those who are still in Adam and under condemnation. It's so alike. And so he says to you who are still in Adam, you belong to the whole lump of the human race under God's condemnation on your way to hell. He says, believe urgently in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will live. You will live. It's so much the same for believer and unbeliever tonight. Believe urgently from out of your dangerous place. Believe urgently in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will live. Well, I tell you where I began this study a couple of years ago was with urgent faith. And thinking, yes, faith is urgent for the unbeliever. Of course it's urgent for the unbeliever. But discovering that faith is urgent for the believer. It's urgent for you. It's urgent for all. Real faith is always urgent faith. The just shall live through the danger. Sin, hell, God, as they trust urgently in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let us pray.